You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Thursday. We're down to Danette. Fritzy has the day off. Yeah, I mean, we miss him, Todd. Who's got it better than us? Fritzy's off today.
Nobody.
No limericks, no mock headlines. Yeah, come on in. Spent some time with Chris Collinsworth. If you miss any interviews on the program, go to danpatrick.com. He had some really interesting things to say about Matthew Stafford and also Lamar Jackson and how he plans to attack the Kansas City Chiefs defense. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DP Show. We stumbled upon a topic, and I know everybody has talked about this at one point. Is Tom Brady the greatest football player of all time? And, you know, my point is, he's got the resume. But I think sometimes if you phrase the question that way, then you go, well, he's not athletic. I mean, well, if that's the case, who's the greatest football player of all time might be Bo Jackson. Because I don't know if there's anybody who's been more athletic than him. But he never ran for 1,000 yards in a season. Never played in the Super Bowl. Like Deion Sanders, great of an athlete as we've ever seen. So I know that we, and I don't, I'm not trolling you. I'm not putting it out. I was just curious with Chris Collinsworth, and I asked him that. You know, do you look at Tom Brady as the greatest football player of all time? And he said, yeah, absolutely. No doubt. Yeah, Paul.
Could there be an athlete, an NFL athlete, who combines both athleticism and resume? And a name that just popped into my head was Steve Young from the 49ers. He was at one time the best quarterback in the game for about a 3 or 4 year run. And, you know, he started late, and he also had Super Bowls. He had winning. He has both resume. Like, Joe Montana doesn't look like a freak athlete. Michael Vick is a freak athlete, but yeah, he doesn't have the resume.
Yeah.
Steve Young had both athleticism and resume.
Yeah, he just wasn't
not long enough
at that level long enough.
Yeah.
I mean, Brady has been at that level. You might say, I mean, I find it even more amazing that he's not a great athlete in a sport where you need to be a good athlete at least. I mean, everybody's trying to tear his head off. Like, it comes down to, I see this defense. I can process this in real time. I can beat you with my arm, and I can beat you with my intelligence. I know that we can't, it's hard to quantify, okay, somebody is so smart, that's not athletic. It's, hey, you're playing football, you're athletic. Yes, Lawrence Taylor was athletic. Jim Brown, athletic. I mean, Randy Moss might be the best athlete who's ever played. And I have no problem if somebody said that. Terrell Owens might be the best athlete who ever played football. I mean, there are just a lot of players. I think when it comes down to, is Tom Brady to football what Bill Russell is to basketball? Maybe not the best player. And Seton brought this up last hour. Okay, best resume, best winner, big, you know. But when it comes to athleticism, it's tricky. You know, Chris Collinsworth brought up Babe Ruth. Well, Babe stole 123 bases in his career. Now, he just didn't look the part of an athlete. But if you win almost 100 games as a pitcher and you bat over 330 as a hitter and hit 700 home runs, that's athletic for baseball. I mean, Shohei Ohtani's getting all this credit for doing sort of what Babe did. Now, he's a better-looking athlete. He's faster. You know, he's going to throw harder. He's going to hit maybe longer home runs. But does that make him a better baseball player than Babe Ruth? And the answer, of course, is no, because he's relatively new in the sport. Yeah, McClellan.
Brady was an elite baseball player, though. I know he went in, like, the 18th round. But in the documentary, they said he would have gone very high if he wasn't committed to football.
Yeah. He was probably a catcher.
Yeah, but he could have been a journeyman baseball player. That's something.
Yeah, but he's the greatest football player of all time. So he's a journeyman baseball player, the greatest football player of all time.
Well, Deion Sanders is one of the greatest football players of all time. He wasn't that great at baseball, was he?
I mean, he was good. I mean, he would go from a football game to a baseball game in a helicopter.
That was pretty good.
And Bo never played a full season of anything. But what he did when he played, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who was better than that. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player, wasn't a good baseball player. Do we hold that against him? No. Should we? Right?
Better be careful, because he won't come on the show if you criticize his baseball.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
We're well past that. Mike's got more important things than to stop by here. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. The poll question from the first hour, is it spilling over to hour two?
Yeah, I had to put up, is Tom Brady the greatest football player of all time?
Okay.
54% said no, so it's close right now. I have another, I have some poll options.
Okay.
Who is more likely to draft a quarterback next season that is playing tonight? The New York Football Giants or the Washington Football Team?
I would say Washington. I mean, it could easily be both. I mean, this is Daniel Jones's make or break season, but they could still keep him for another year. I would say Washington Football Team, because Ryan Fitzpatrick is not your future, and you're a good quarterback, consistent quarterback away from being what I think would be a dangerous playoff team. Taylor Heineke is going to start tonight against Daniel Jones. And while I like him, he's got athleticism. Teammates seem to like him as well. He's not their future. But I would say probably Washington would be that team. Yeah, Pauline.
If he went by Danny Jones, would he be a much better quarterback? Daniel Jones sounds like an accounting firm. Got to go with Danny Jones. That's the guy who slings it.
But they gave him Danny Dimes. Like, he doesn't strike me as Danny Dimes.
The expression is Daniel Dimes.
Yes. But they call him Danny Dimes. I don't know. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, there's an image problem here. Like, he wears pleated khakis and...
he doesn't. Wait, they had a quarterback who... in Eli Manning, who was that?
True.
Like, Danny Dimes looks like he's Eli's cousin. All right, so we'll get to some phone calls here. Sean Salisbury's all fired up. Former USC quarterback, and he said yesterday in a tweet, basically, these kids don't remember USC being USC as we know it, as older broadcasters were like, man, how could you pass up going to USC? And isn't that a marquee job? And I don't know if it is a marquee job. And if I'm 18 or 19, what are my memories of USC? None. When they're really good, none. So that's why trying to keep these quarterbacks who go to Clemson or Alabama, they should be going to USC. And can you bring in somebody who is going to bring life to that program? And who do you bring in? Because a lot of times they promote from within, which is nice for their assistant coaches. But if I'm looking at my program and I say it's an elite program, can I bring somebody in? Who do I bring in? Bob Stoops? Do you bring in James Franklin? Is Urban Meyer actually interested in the job? Can you get Matt Campbell from Iowa State? I would love to know if you said, here's our dream candidate. Who is that dream candidate for USC? So we'll talk to Sean Salisbury about that. Everything in today's sports media world is accelerated. After one game, you know, we weigh in on who's the MVP front runners. There's power rankings, there's mock drafts, and most of it's relatively harmless. Everyone just changes their mind and doesn't look back. But when it comes to coaches, there's a lot of pressure when you land on that dreaded hot seat. It's really tough to get off of it. Matt Nagy, he's been aware of the pressure in Chicago. He's on the hot seat. Will it affect his decision at quarterback? Other coaches on the hot seat actually won in week one. Guys like Vic Fangio in Denver, Zach Taylor in Cincinnati, Mike McCarthy. The Cowboys actually looked pretty good in their loss to the Buccaneers, but it's a week-to-week proposition. So even if guys seem safe now, a lot of coaches are one bad loss away from being on the NFL's hot seat. What's Washington favored by tonight? Is it like 6? Yeah, Paulie.
I got Washington given 3.5 to the Giants.
Ooh, that's it?
Is that correct?
Yes, McLovin.
That's because Daniel Jones owns Washington.
Oh, that's right. He's undefeated.
So that's that weird anomaly.
Okay. He's never lost to the Washington football team. Cowboys have lost their defensive end. What is that, 6 to 8 weeks that Lawrence is out?
Yeah.
DeMarcus Lawrence? He got paid, and then all of a sudden, I think he's sort of been pedestrian the last 2 years because he had a couple of years double-digit sacks. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, 2017 and 2018, DeMarcus Lawrence went for 14.5 sacks, 10.5 sacks, got the big deal.
Mm.
2 years ago, 5 sacks. Last year, 6.5 sacks. Yikes.
Yeah. What about Zeke Elliott, McLovin? Because, you know, look, I'm out there that I would never have re-signed him. I would have just said, thank you. We appreciate all the great years you gave us, but we're not giving you a second contract. Because he led the league in rushing in 2018. He had, you know, 1,400 yards? But what has he done? And look, any running back who plays all the games should get 1,000 yards. That's not asking much. And he's playing behind one of the better offensive lines, or he has. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, the year after that, he went down to 1,357 yards, 84 yards a game. After that, 979 yards last year at 63 yards a game. Yeah. And he rushed for 33 yards in week one.
And they gave him that six-year, $90 million extension.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
But isn't the flaw drafting Ezekiel Elliott in the top five in the first place? Because he did do what you asked for him. His first 3 years, 4 years, he was an all-pro running back. His numbers are fantastic his first 3 years.
Yeah.
And then you're in the position where, to satisfy the fans, you have to re-sign him.
Yeah.
It's like Christian McCaffrey. He was drafted high. He worked out. Then they had to sign him. Leonard Fournette was drafted high. Didn't work out great. Worked out kind of medium.
Yeah.
So they didn't. There's no pressure to re-sign him.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll see a running back in the top five drafted anytime soon. I mean, Saquon might be the last. But I don't know if you re-sign him. I wouldn't. But, you know, Christian McCaffrey's a little bit different because he's an anomaly. And he's the face of the franchise there. But do I want to tie up that kind of money with my running back? The answer is no. Yeah, McClub.
What if you consider Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey slot receivers slash running backs? Could you pay them a little more? Because really, that's their value.
Yes. I like Kamara, but once again, I don't know how much am I paying to keep you? And these guys all look at, you know, what Zeke signed for, and they're going, I want that. Well, not everybody gets that. But Kamara is, you know, one of the exceptions that I would look at him as a dual threat. Therefore, that might be a little bit different. I would still use Zeke out of the backfield more. I would just try to get him out in space, and he's a safety valve for Dak Prescott. But, you know, they are a passing team. Yeah, Paul.
And Kamara, they got for nothing. They got him out of college as a low draft choice. So Kamara made 4 Pro Bowls without getting paid. They got his best work for zero, basically the Saints.
Andrea in New Jersey joins us, leads us off this hour. Andrea, good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, and shout out to Chat Row. And a belated happy birthday shout-out to Jeff in Detroit.
All right.
In my opinion, Brady will never be the best player. There's one thing everybody keeps forgetting. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people keep forgetting is the most important consideration is the era. If Joe Montana and Dan Marino played today, could you imagine the numbers they would put up? I mean, is Brady really going to be able to stand up or would have been able to stand up against Dick Butkus, Jim Brown, Mean Joe Green? I mean, you can't compare a player from today, in my opinion, because of the past generations and the rules were so much tougher.
All right. Well, thank you. Great phone call, Andrea. Yeah, Brady is going to move past Drew Brees. Like, he hasn't blown people away with anything other than his Super Bowls, because it's a pass happy league and he doesn't have all the records. He will, but he's played longer than anybody. How would Brady have fared back in the 70s? How would Montana and Marino do now? Well, they would put up great numbers. I mean, Montana didn't put up great numbers. I think he threw for 30 touchdowns in a season, maybe once, but it was a different game. Dan Marino would have every passing record. In today's game, Dan Marino would, you know, they would all be trying to catch him. But it's winning Super Bowls. It's winning playoff games. You know, that's what separates Brady. If it's all about winning, then why wouldn't it be Tom Brady? Because he's the greatest winner that we've had in the NFL. If it's about stats, well, then that's a different story. then Drew Brees is better than Tom Brady. Peyton Manning is better. And we know that's not the case. By the way, Drew Brees will join us on the program tomorrow. I'll ask Brees, who's the greatest football player of all time. Do you think he says Tom Brady? Who thinks Drew Brees doesn't say Tom Brady? Paulie?
No, but I think Drew begrudgingly says Tom Brady, but he'll say, based off the rings, rings decide it. He won't admit he's a better quarterback than him.
You don't think Brees would say that Brady is better than him?
Absolutely not. Brees, he'd be the last guy to admit it. He would say he's had a better career based off Super Bowl titles because that's just a fact. That's math.
Yeah.
But Drew's too competitive to say someone's better than him.
Man.
He will hem and haw and compliment, but he won't say he's better than him.
Okay. I was almost willing to bet a pie on that. That base, but, you know, Brees may answer it differently, so I get a pie to the face. I don't know if I want to do that. Yeah, Seton.
There's a stat going around on Twitter right now.
Yeah.
And it's a highlight of one of Jameis Winston's touchdown passes.
Yeah.
It says, this touchdown pass from Jameis Winston traveled 50 yards in the air. Drew Brees attempted 9,421 passes for the Saints and never had one of those.
He never had an attempt of over 50 yards? A completion over 50 yards?
This went 50 yards in the air.
In the air.
And then I don't know about the run after that.
Oh, wow. 9,000 passes and not one was completed where he threw it over 50 yards.
Almost 9,500.
God. Are you sure about that? Are you trusting Twitter again?
It's from a reputable source.
Okay. Let me take a break. More phone calls coming up. 18 after the hour. Dan Patrick Show. Discover. I went to dinner last night with my youngest daughter and my wife, and I pulled out the Discover credit card.
They let you pay?
They always do.
Nah.
Yeah. You know, they fight me all the time. Like, no, no, you can't pay. And I'm like, no, I'll pay. And I did. But my Discover credit card, hey, they match all the cash back I earn on my credit card at the end of the first year. And it's amazing. It's accepted at 99% of the places that take credit cards. So I get used to hearing the word yes more often. Like, yes, you can pay. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Unlock the Truth. It's a new Peacock original drama. Dan Brown has written another book, The Lost Symbol, and Robert Langdon, the Harvard, is it a symbologist, McLevin?
I don't know.
Somebody who studies symbols?
You're the one who's friends with Dan Brown. Did you ask him?
I guess I could ask him this.
I think it's pronounced symbolologist.
Symbolologist?
Symbolologist.
Okay.
Like symbols a drummer plays?
No. No, he's a Harvard symbologist where he's... You know, Da Vinci Code?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's
symbolologist.
Symbolologist. Go to peacocktv.com to sign up. Yeah, I had one of those embarrassing moments where you play in a celebrity pro-am golf tournament, and I'm thinking I'm the celebrity. I'm playing in New Hampshire. You know, Hootie and the Blowfish is playing in. You know, there's other guys in there. And I get to the 15th hole, and I said to one of the guys I'm playing with, I said, so what do you do for a living? You know, I'm the celebrity. You got to engage the people you're playing with. So what do you do for a living? And Dan Brown goes, and I don't know, I just know his name's Dan. And he goes, yeah, I'm a writer. I said, oh, wow. I said, have I read anything that you've written? And he goes, The Da Vinci Code. I go, God be damned. He's the celebrity.
I'm kidding.
And then you can't go, I'm not familiar with The Da Vinci Code. Damn. I was so mad. I was like, he's the celebrity. Damn it.
That's so funny.
I know.
That's like saying, hey, JK. Jay, that's an interesting name. What do you do? Are you a writer? Oh, Harry Potter.
Oh, well, thank you, McLevin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been good if we just stopped right there and I made the segue to Sean Salisbury.
I'm filling in for Todd. I have to do Todd things.
I don't want you doing Todd things. Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback and host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, and the former USC quarterback. Hi, Sean.
How you doing? I'm listening to you talk about Dan Brown. Hi, I'm Sean. You're James Patterson. But here's my problem, Dan. I went to HEB grocery store the other day. I thought the same thing, and the grocery checkout guy says, "Well, I check out groceries. What kind of celebrity are you?" So I go through that every day of my damn life. You just went through it once. Good to be on with you, man. How are you?
I'm good. Good to talk to you. I saw your tweet where you were a little fired up about your alma mater, USC. What makes you most upset about this situation?
I'm quite tired of our alma mater, us as former players. Board of Regents, alumni, fans, and, you know, Dan, I love my Trojans, and you're familiar with our Trojans. We've talked about it for many years, is the arrogance and pride that we think a 17-year-old kid who plays Madden has any idea that I played or that we won a national championship in 78. They don't care. Hey, man, you got to do it the Trojan way. Yeah, what's the Trojan way? Going 8-3 and ended up in El Paso and playing in a game at UTEP? And I'm being a bit facetious, but Dan, that it bothers me because we got to get out of that mode of 17-year-old kids have about a 5-year attention span. They want to know about name, image, and likeness. They want to make sure they can play on TV every week, national TV. They want to make sure they can play for a national title. They want to make sure that the NFL's waiting on them and that you understand what, you know, where they're coming from. The kid at modern day, think about this, Dan. The kid at modern day knows more about the uniforms at Oregon, and they're a good program, than they do about student body right. So if you're going to be the next coach, you better buy in. So the arrogance of us, see the history and tradition of a program, those kids can get that when they get there. The history is for you and I to mull over. Dan, remember when I was in 1981 and I was a recruited? And you say that to a kid, and he goes, no, Sean, I didn't even know you did that, man. And that's probably the grocery checker kid, let alone the recruit. So you got to understand, Nick Saban, that you got to do the now and what's happening, what's going to happen the next 5 years for them. That's what they want to know. They could care less about history and tradition. That's the era we're in, and that next coach better understand that, and he better keep guys in 150-mile radius in the state and in the Southern California area and at USC.
Okay. Is this a marquee job that you can go out and say, hey, we want you? Like, we can pick and choose who we want. Is it a great program?
Dan, the name's great, and I don't want this to sound conflictory to what I said. It's still, people still know who USC is. The problem is we can't, it's like going in and misplaced. When you're going through an interview, misplacing what you're trying to sell about your program. I'm not trying to sell Marcus Allen Heisman Trophy. When you walk into McKay Center, you'll see that once we got you on campus. Dan, when I was there and before me and after me with all those great players, and I wasn't one of them. Like, we need dogs in the program. We got good players. Don't misunderstand me. But think about 4 of the top quarterbacks in college football. They're all playing in the SEC. They're playing somewhere else. And it's not a knock on Slovis. It's just the yearly thing. We used to be, if you came in and think about a dog in your backyard, and we need dogs in the program, but it used to be that in our backyard, if you wanted to take us out of Southern California, that you had to come in, pick us up, steal us, and take us, and here's the recruiting trip, here's where you are, here's why you want to play here. Now, we at SC, we just open the gate for you. Oh, come on out, man. Go on and play for Nick Saban. He can waltz into your backyard. When a guy at modern day knows more about Alabama's program than he does the guys that are within 30 miles or 50 miles of campus, we got a problem. Yes, it's still got that. It is USC, but we're no longer that guy, Dan. We're a guy. It's like the guy, the third, the backup tight end who's trying to be that guy, but he's not yet. We're now, used to be that guy. Now we're just a guy in college football. That we're a guy to Oregon. We're a guy to Clemson. We're a guy to those programs. And there's a bunch of us, Florida State, Miami, Texas, Nebraska. But we're at the top of that. So we're still, it's still USC, but it isn't USC.
Okay, who are you bringing?
You got to recruit hard.
All right.
Dan,
I'm going to let you bring them in.
Okay, I'm the AD.
Yeah, who are you hiring?
There's 50 guys we're going to hear. And I don't need to repeat the James Franklins and the Matt Camp. I'd love to interview them. Let me give you a few that I'd be really interested in talking to and that I like. I need somebody, I don't care if he's 65 or 36. I need energy to match the player and understand landscapes change. So a sneaky name. Why not Joe Brady? Young guy. Everywhere he's been, Joe Burrow, what he's going to do with Darnold. And I like him. And he's done it quickly. And it needs a quick turnaround. And he'll have 22 first rounders a year.
So he's the offensive coordinator with Carolina.
For Carolina, and who was at the LSU when Burrow had that big year.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you a sneak. I'm not giving you the Franklins or Campbells. I also am intrigued with Hugh Freeze. Liberty's doing some great things. I like how he's turned it around. He's coached in big-time SEC football.
A little risky, though. Little baggage.
But, Dan, you know what? Guess what? Sometimes that baggage, it may be a duffel bag now instead of full three-piece suitcase, okay? I'm willing to take a little bit of risk to get all the reward USC needs. I like Eric Bieniemy, and here's why. No Southern California, continues to get denied in the NFL. It takes a lot to bring that guy, you know, the NFL coach who's used to it. Now he's got to go babysit in college. But Bieniemy knows Southern California, knows recruits. And also it's a guy with so much energy. I think EB's in his 50s, Dan. But when you're around him, there's an enthusiasm that he's 30. And the also enthusiasm that he understands what these kids want, and he can take some of what Andy's doing, what he wants. I like that. Of course, I like Jack Del Rio because there's a toughness about him. Dan, that's another thing we've lacked. We're getting our rear end taken to the woodshed physically at the line of scrimmage. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. You got to be able to do a lot of concepts, but Nick Saban, when he needs to, can hand it off 8 straight times and wear you out. So those are some names. And then you're going to get your Matt Campbells, your Mario Cristobals, your James Franklins. I get it. I'm intrigued with Brian Daboll in Buffalo and see what he can do. But does he even want to coach college football? So there's some names. My guy Jack Del Rio would be great because he understands the landscape and he's tough. And more importantly, Dan, than just the head coach, please find me a friggin' staff. You better have guys that want to go spend Friday night recruiting. It can't be. Nick Saban is a great recruiter, and he still does it. But, Dan, let's face facts. Players recruit Nick Saban now, right? I want to be there. That's the way it used to be with John Robinson when I was there. I want to play for that guy. But now it's to the point you got to do some legwork. You got to drive to Bakersfield and go get that guy. You got to show up at Modern Day, at Crenshaw, at Verbum Day, all it's Crespi. And we're not doing enough. Clay Helton, a good guy. But the leadership's been lost. You have got to change it. And it can't. I don't care if it's a sexy name. I need a guy who understands the player and can recruit the player, but also where the mom and dad say, ooh, he's going to make $1 million in name, image, and likeness, and we're going to play for a national title. We can't be just the guy. We got to be that guy, or we'll continue to be chasing teams like Oregon and other teams in the Pac-12.
Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback, and, of course, host of the Sean Salisbury Show, Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Hey, how about them Texans, man?
Well, Dan, probably a one seed in the NFL playoffs, because we don't overreact on first week. Dan, the one thing I did, and I'll say this out loud and scream to the high heavens, I think that Tyrod Taylor was perfect for what they had to have this year. I think he's a more patient quarterback than Deshaun Watson because he doesn't have the hero syndrome, have to make every play. But in the process, Deshaun will make 50 more plays against great teams. I don't know how much chance they got against Cleveland. It may be a little bit of Toledo versus Notre Dame, but if they can play like Toledo did, we may have a shot. But they're going to have to do everything perfect because I still think Cleveland, after their performance, is a Final Four Super Bowl caliber and could be in that position. But the Texans better enjoy it, and that's why I'm glass half full. Enjoy it while you can because you may not be jumping and hitting your head on the ceiling many more times during this season.
Great to catch up with you as always. Thanks for bringing the passion.
I appreciate it, brother. Thanks for having me on.
That's Sean Salisbury, Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Sean's all fired up there about his alma mater. Keyshawn Johnson been all fired up about his alma mater. You know, you could walk around Southern California. When USC was USC, it's like, yeah, I went to USC. Then all of a sudden, you're like, where'd you go to school? I went place in Southern California. Yeah, where? USC. All the Operation Varsity Blues? Like, did somebody pay for you to get... hey, how about that football team there? Yeah. It's sort of, you wear that pride. And you know, I have friends who went to Penn State with everything that went on there for a while. You know, you're reticent about telling people where you went to school because you used to walk around with great pride, like, yeah, I went to Michigan. And you're like, yeah, you guys are going to beat Ohio State one of these? You know, that's just sort of how we do. That's why when I say Dayton, people always go, oh, yeah, good party school. I go, yep. Oh, yeah, you guys good in basketball. Yeah, sure. That's it. No real baggage. Yeah, Paulie.
Would you rather have a bad rep as a school or no rep as a school? Like a school that, I don't want to pick anyone out, but a school where you say something, no one identifies it at all. I went to Southern Illinois University. Not a ton of big-name athletes come out of there recently, but Salukis is the mascot, and it's a weird mascot name. People are like, oh, that's a team, the Salukis, right? They know that name for some reason.
Yeah.
They don't know what a Saluki is.
Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, Brandon Jacobs is always a name for, oh, didn't Brandon Jacobs go there? Ferrari era. Is that the Southern Illinois guy? Like, every small school has one guy.
Well, it used to be Walt Frazier.
Oh, he went
the
there,
the basketball
too?
Player, yeah. Because they won the NIT,
yeah.
I think, with Clyde Frazier. But, yeah, it feels like every 20 years, 25 years, then you have another athlete that or you have a famous alum.
I always say for Dartmouth, I'm always like, you know, Jay Fiedler played there.
I know.
That's the best we got.
I know. You got to get another one there.
But Ivy League doesn't really have, like, elite NFL or NBA guys.
Well, that's why Ryan Fitzpatrick, oh, he went to Harvard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my trick is, hey, where'd you go to college? Oh, I went to a school in New Hampshire. Then I'm like being kind of humble brag. They're like, oh, New Hampshire, did you go to UNH? And I'm like, no, Dartmouth. So obnoxious.
Dartmouth? Yes, Paul.
You're the only Ivy League graduate who doesn't wear it on his sleeve, who doesn't run
or
around
on his chest.
Yeah, shirts, no. Shorts. Yeah.
I'm embarrassed that I went to Dartmouth. Look where I ended up. No. Dartmouth's embarrassed by me, trust me. I'm kidding.
Are you?
No.
Did your parents ever wonder, though, like, you graduated from Dartmouth and then you end up on this show? At any point did they go, like, Andrew, what happened?
My parents never asked one thing about my jobs ever until I got here. And you honestly do not have two bigger show fans than Tom and Carol Perloff.
Yeah. Yeah, Seton.
It's funny because for me, it's the exact opposite. It's like, how the hell did you end up there?
West Virginia.
That's amazing. Look at what you did for yourself. We all thought you'd be dead.
Wait.
Look at you.
So your parents were proud that you went to West Virginia?
Well, no, more that I ended up here at the Dan Patrick Show. No, they were very proud that I got into West Virginia. They weren't proud about my tenure at West Virginia. That could have been much better. But they were very proud that a school like that accepted me. Yeah, they were like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I think they're more proud of that I'm sitting here in this chair.
Okay. Yes, McLovin.
Yeah, my parents are like, I'm like, yeah, my daughter just lost her first tooth. They're like, oh, that's great. Now tell us about the Alex Trebek interview when he was in studio. What was he like?
Couple of phone calls. Let's see. Bill in Tampa Bay. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, Dan and Danette. Frequent caller. I want to thank you for taking my call yet again. I just want to say something to you before I get to Brady and Jim Brown. Great interview. I loved how you asked questions when they needed to be asked, but you pretty much let Sean do his thing. And I remember growing up, everybody was afraid of USC, and you're right about that. Now, as to Brady, a lot of people seem to forget that the first two Super Bowls, Adam Vinatieri won those two Super Bowls. They got blown out by the Bears in the first one. The Giants beat them twice. The defense won the Super Bowl against Seattle. They got beat by the Eagles. They also, if Atlanta doesn't choke, would have lost that one.
Yeah, but,
and they lost
but Bill,
to the Giants.
Bill, and thanks for the phone call. Brady didn't play against the Chicago Bears. That was Tony Eason, I believe, playing against the Chicago Bears.
Well, I mean, Brady's old. He's not that old.
I know.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Brady didn't contribute to that one at all.
Yeah.
Not his fault.
Yeah. Yes, McLeod.
Yeah, I mean, Brady, though, he did screw up that Super Bowl against the Packers and Brett Favre in 96.
Yeah, he wasn't on the team then either.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the one where Irving Fryer cut his hand, or was that 85?
I don't know. The kitchen knife incident with Irving Fryer?
That's one of those Super Bowl stories.
We'll take a break. Paulie sent me a link, and I have not clicked on it, and he's baiting me to do it. I will click on it during the commercial break, and then if you want to talk about it, I know what it's about. I just, and you know I hate lists. I will click on the link, and then we'll discuss when we come back up for air, back after this. Guys, we're all getting older, but we want to still perform at our best, and you can thanks to M-Drive, the everyday supplement for driven guys who refuse to let age beat them. M-Drive's clinically tested ingredients support healthy testosterone levels while helping maintain lean muscle and giving you that energy you need to fight back against aging every single day. Try it for yourself. Go to mdrivedan.com, and this month only, take 20% off your first order. Make sure you use the promo code Dan. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, so nothing to lose. Aging is inevitable, but slowing down doesn't have to be. M-Drive will help you perform at your best with top-level T support. Join a community of driven men like me who refuse to let age slow them down. Visit mdrivedan.com. Going to get more energy, lean muscle, healthy T support your body needs. Remember, take 20% off your order. Make sure you use the promo code Dan. It's mdrivedan.com. Promo code Dan, 20% off. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players, rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday Night Football on NBC. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs go to Baltimore. Battle Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Sunday at 7 Eastern, only on NBC. Drew Brees will join us on the program tomorrow. Also, the great filmmaker Ken Burns has a documentary about Muhammad Ali. Got to see it. And the archival footage is unbelievable. The stuff that you've never seen before with Muhammad Ali. So we'll talk to Ken Burns, and he'll join us on the program coming up tomorrow. More phone calls on the way. Paulie was baiting me, tempting me to click on this link. It's Rolling Stone's top, is this 500 songs of all time?
That's right.
Okay. Where do you want me to start here or stop?
Because I think if you start at 50 or start at one and look at the top 50, you'll scroll, and every once in a while, as Seton says, you'll just go, what is this? It'll make you upset.
Yeah, but why do you want to make me upset? You know that I don't like lists.
But you love music.
I do.
Respect by Aretha Franklin is by their choice the greatest song of all time, which, by the way, was written by Otis Redding.
Mm.
Had no idea.
Okay.
The second biggest song of all time, or best song of all time, Fight the Power by Public Enemy from 1989.
Okay, first of all, who voted on this?
A collection of Rolling Stone editors and experts.
Okay.
Who remain nameless at this juncture.
Okay. Number three is Sam Cooke. A change is going to come. Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye, by the way, are my two favorite voices. I think those are, you can't go wrong with. Whenever they sing, you can't go wrong.
Number five all time is Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. And I'm sure they're factoring in impact of the song, not just the song at face value.
Bob Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone is four. He did that in 1965. Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, is six. And the Beatles check in, finally, at number seven. Strawberry Fields Forever. I don't know if I would pick that song. Strawberry Fields. Like, if you said, boy, this is the Beatles' signature song, wouldn't be Strawberry Fields Forever. Yes.
What? Yeah, I was going to ask, what song would you put there? That sounded surprising.
Probably Hey Jude, Let It Be. Missy Elliott, the eighth greatest song of all time with Get Your Freak On.
That's a curveball early.
Fleetwood Mac, Dreams is nine. Outkast, Hey Ya.
Rounding out the top 10.
Heya's in there before Elton John, before, I think they're before the Rolling Stones.
This is actually my favorite part of this list.
What is?
Is when you start looking at who, like which song, and then they're sort of bookended by what other artists. So like Outkast is just one tick better than the Beach Boys, God Only Knows.
Okay.
That's very interesting, which is one tick better at number 12, Stevie Wonder's Superstition.
Okay. The Rolling Stones check in at number 13 with Gimme Shelter. That's their best song of all time?
If I told you Outkast would be in before the Rolling Stones, no offense, you'd be surprised.
I mean, the Kinks' Waterloo Sunset is 14th. The 14th greatest song of all time.
That is an insider's well-respected indie rock song. Yeah. I've heard people write about Waterloo Sunset for years.
Which is what makes this such a
crock
Rolling Stone list. The only thing that's actually shocking is that Velvet Underground hasn't had four songs already.
Yeah.
This is such a Rolling Stones list.
Beyonce with Jay-Z, Crazy in Love. Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody. I'll give you a couple more. Prince with Purple Rain is 18th. John Lennon, Imagine. Robin, Dancing on My Own.
Excuse me?
I don't know Robin. Does anybody know Robin?
I know Robin. I don't know that song, though.
She's a Swedish disco queen, Dan.
Okay.
She's had a couple of hits.
Okay, Dancing on My Own, that came out in 2010. Billie Holiday, Strange Fruit, 21. All right, I'll go up a couple more to 25. The Ronettes, Be My Baby. David Bowie, Heroes. David Bowie's greatest song is Heroes? We can be heroes for just one day.
Like, see, this is one that really stands out at me, right? I'm going to jump up the list a little bit more. And this is what I just don't believe that MIA Paper Planes, which is an awesome song, a song that I really like a lot. It's a great song. I just don't believe that that is a hair greater of a song, a touch better than Elton John, Tiny Dancer. Because somehow Elton John, Tiny Dancer is 47 and MIA Paper Planes is 46.
Yeah.
That just feels like sacrilegious somehow or something.
I was calling her Mia for the first half hour.
Kanye West, Runaway is in there. Joni Mitchell, A Case of You.
That's a great song.
But is that Joni Mitchell's greatest song?
It should be.
Springsteen's Born to Run is in here. Talking Heads, Once in a Lifetime. Nothing But a G-Thang with Dr. Dre.
Great song.
Lord, Royals. Okay. Yeah. I didn't need to see this list. Yeah, Paul.
Outkast has two songs in the top 39 songs of all time. The Rolling Stones have one. The Beatles have one. Prince has one. Michael Jackson has none. The Who have none.
That's accurate.
No two. Wow. Wow. Still taking shots at my one of my favorite bands.
Is Zeppelin in the top 40? I don't see them.
But Rolling Stone famously hates Led Zeppelin, don't they?
Yeah. Wow.
I think they gave him bad reviews.
Every album's gotten a bad review.
Yeah. Little Richard's in here. The White Stripes, Seven Nation Army, Prince. And I would love to know the music inspiration of a lot of these younger artists who are in the top 25, and you're going, wait, really? Who they were influenced by. Otis Redding is in here. Outkast, B.O.B. Yeah. Hendrix finally slips in. Joy Division, Love Will Tear Us Apart.
Oasis, Wonderwall is 95.
Yeah, I don't.
95.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
Too high or too low? See,
Michael Jackson is at 44. Michael Jackson checks in. He made it into the top 50. Yeah, Paul.
Were Canadian rock bands not included in this list?
No Rush.
Is that a disclaimer?
Oh, man. I don't see Neil Young either, Paul.
All righty. I didn't need to see this list. Final hour coming up. We'll get to more phone calls. One more item as we close out hour two, rockauto.com. All the parts your car and truck will ever need at rockauto.com. Family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. They had two goals in mind, and really simple when you think about it, giving you direct access to the information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. And second, make the parts affordable, offering reliably low prices. They do both. rockauto.com will not only have the parts you need, but often give you a choice of brands, prices, and features. Maybe you prefer installing a Mopar brand parts on your Dodge. You want to spend as little as possible on a beater, or you need heavy-duty parts for a tow vehicle. Man, that's what you need to keep an eye on. AC Delco brands for your Chevy, or Denso brand for your Toyota. They've got it all. Don't waste time and money hunting for the parts, phoning, driving, waiting in line. RockAuto.com. Make sure you tell them that we sent you. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. RockAuto.com.